welcome again to another Conservative Historian podcast, this one entitled Climate Change and Religion. The date is September 2023, and my name is Bell Avis. Activism is a way for useless people to feel important, even if the consequences of their activism are counterproductive for those they claim to be helping and damaging to the fabric of society as a whole. Thomas Sowell. According to Francis Young, writing in 2018 for History Today, in his piece, St. Edmund and the Viking Saint, a Viking army invaded the Anglo-Saxon kingdom of East Anglia in 869 and killed its King Edmund. The murdered monarch would be venerated as one of the great saints of medieval England. According to the dominant account, the invading Vikings destroyed churches and monasteries before defeating Edmund in battle. Tied to a tree and shot full of arrows, Edmund was beheaded when he refused to rule as a Viking underking. In Bernard Cornwell's fun, historically fictional account of the Anglo-Saxons and Vikings, Edmund is so enamored of his faith that he believes God will deflect the Viking arrows. We do not have evidence of this, but we do know that Cornwall is not exactly a big fan of the medieval church in England. And was Edmund the great martyr to the church as was later believed? Or did he simply not wish to serve under the Vikings, as Young suggests? We are not confident either way, given the source material. Still, organized religion wanted to use his story to show the zealotry and devotion they felt necessary to the church and to the faith. Religion often gets a bad rap from the intelligentsia on the left. One of the most important founts of our current leftism, 18th century French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau, believed that separating state and religion was problematic because the two would be in conflict. But he was no atheist. Rousseau believed all citizens should also pledge allegiance to a civil religion with a very few basic precepts: the existence of a God, the belief in an afterlife, justice for all, the sanctity of the social contract in the law, and the prohibition of intolerance, which should prevent friction between members of different religions. In his view, an organized religion like Catholicism might throw up allegiances that would conflict with the state. Trying to set up two competing sets of laws, one civil and one religious, creates all sorts of contradictions that prevent the proper exercise of any law. Rousseau also believed in the concept of group ownership of land and a rejection of private property. The first man who, having enclosed a piece of ground, bethought himself of saying, "This is mine," and found people simple enough to believe him, was the real founder of civil society. From how many crimes, wars, and murders, from how many horrors and misfortunes might not anyone have saved mankind by pulling up the stakes or filling up the ditch and crying to his fellows, "Beware of listening to this impostor. You are undone if you once forget that the fruits of the earth belong to us all and the earth itself to nobody." Rousseau was godfather to the 19th century German philosopher and economist Karl Marx. In one of his famous quotes, Marx stated that religion is the opiate of the masses. He contended that religion disconnected disadvantaged people from the here and now, dulling their engagement in progressive politics and ultimately their building the utopian state. If Marx had strongly emulated Rousseau on private property, he evolved the French philosopher's view from a civil religion that was part of the state to little need for religion itself. We can make an excellent historical case for the value of religion. The era of Catholic hegemony from the 800s to the 16th century was less bloody than that which followed, especially regarding the last great European war of religion, the Thirty Years' War. It is hard to look at World Wars I and II, fought not on religious, but nationalistic grounds, and assume that something like the Inquisition was so much worse. And as for Marxist regimes ranging from Mao to Pol Pot to Castro, the record of non-religious societies is marked by tyranny, oppression, and bloodshed. but I firmly believe in the separation of state and religion. If a person wishes to conduct their affairs without Hinduism, Christianity, or Islam, I feel that is what liberty is about. I believe in the value of religion, but I place individual liberty higher in the order of things. And all this is well and good, except for that tiny problem of humanity's cognitive faculties. I love dogs. I love their empathy with their humans, their live-in-the-now mentality, and the fact their makeup is mostly to love and be loved. But they do not possess the need for spirituality that we humans crave. A Buddhist saying is, just as a candle cannot burn without fire, man cannot live without a spiritual life. Eleanor Roosevelt stated, if you lose money, you lose much. If you lose friends, you lose more. If you lose faith, you lose all. But what is faith in the United States when, according to Gallup, in the 4 years before the pandemic, 2016 through 2019, an average of 34% of U.S. adults said they had attended church, synagogue, mosque, or temple in the past 7 days? From 2020 to the present, the average has been 30%. This decline is not something begun in the distant past. A survey conducted by Religious News showed that from the 15 years between 1997 and 2012, religiosity in the United States is in the midst of what might be called the Great Decline. Previous declines in religion pale in comparison. Over the past 15 years, the drop in religiosity has been twice as great as the decline in the 1960s and the 1970s. So we have a massive decline of religiosity, with nearly two-thirds of all Americans eschewing weekly religious services. Yet, we also have an abiding need for spirituality. For time purposes, I will exclude the increasing iconography taking place on the right and focus on the figure of the climate change activist. I am a big fan of Carl Sagan. He was one of my favorites in bringing the cosmos to a level of understanding that a 9-year-old boy could know and interact with. But here, he inadvertently gets to the heart of the matter for the climate change activist, whom we will henceforth refer to as the CCA. Science is not only compatible with spirituality, it is a profound source of spirituality. Only it is not. One of the critical aspects of spirituality, as exemplified by religion, is faith. And by this, I do not mean belief in the mystical. Let's take some of the more commonly known New Testament stories. When Jesus feeds the 5,000 from a few baskets, the point is not some conjuring of food like a Star Trek replicator creating mass out of energy in some ancient Judean locale. It proves my point that religion, in this case, Jesus' teachings and examples, provide spiritual nourishment. That is what he was feeding to the 5,000. Nor does the famous story of Jesus' walk on water mean that he possessed the power to fly, as if Jesus were some form of Marvel superhero. The point was not Jesus above the water, but that Peter, the cynical man who would later deny Jesus, could not walk on water because he lacked faith. The point was belief in something that cannot be seen. In other words, the opposite of science. And it isn't a surprise that somebody like Carl Sagan, who was a great astrophysicist, but that he would almost try to substitute the concept of science for what had come before, which would have been religion. We saw it during the pandemic. We saw it during COVID. Even though the science in and of itself would term that certain kinds of masks would not prevent exposure or prevent the passing on of the disease, people would still continue to wear the masks anyway. It had almost become symbolic the way other people would wear a cross. Now, climate change certainly has plenty of science, and it is worth noting the information. It is hard to look at the results from an auto exhaust pipe on the third day after a snowstorm, seeing the brownish slush that results, and not think those emissions are deleterious to our health and that of the planet. But it is the alarmism, the doomsaying, the need to reorder society on a grand scale where we part. And when you read the underlying premises, you begin to learn that it is not about removing toxins, but rather the reordering of society, especially at a collective Rousseau-like level, where so much of this emanates. But the belief breeds the religion. Writing for the National Review, Jeffrey Tobin termed in 2018, "The catechism of environmental alarmism demands that we denounce the sinful nature of destructive capitalism, for which punishment is not so much inevitable, rather as it is richly deserved." John Hershauer wrote this, "The sacrament, far from the ornate wooden layers of the Catholic lore, occurs on one sordidly animated webpage, where your transgressions against Gaia are plastered for all to see in a communal ritual of denunciation. Atop the site is a promise to uphold the seal of the confessional, assuring penitents that their confessions will be kept anonymous." This is in reference to a now-taken-down website, in which people could write about how they had violated climate change. For example, not recycling. For example, maybe taking a Sunday drive in the car. Or lately, eating meat. Tell us, NBC insists with a plastical verb, where do you fall short in preventing climate change? It even provides an examination of conscience in miniature. Do you blast the AC? Throw out half your lunch, grill a steak every week. This religion even has high priests who thunder from the pulpit, and a Joan of Arc-like figure in the person of Swede Greta Thunberg, who, disappointedly from the exploitative purposes of the faith leaders, is no longer a child. And they have prophets who make predictions as well. Well, false prophets, to be more precise. Al Gore, 2006. "The North Pole will be ice-free in the summer by 2013 because of man-made global warming." Well, the ice caps are still there, and that prediction was 10 years ago. Greta Thunberg, 2018. "Climate change will wipe out all of humanity over the next 5 years. Well, I'm recording this in 2023, and I will know that the one thing that has been wiped out was any references on certain websites to Thunberg's prognostication. And we have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, 2019. "The world will end in 12 years if we don't address climate change." Well, you know, in fairness, that last one could come true. We still have 8 years on the road to Armageddon. But given that Gore's Inconvenient Truth, for which he won an Oscar, came out in 2006, I must confess to a lack of faith in AOC's own prognostications. Michael Crichton noted, "Environmentalism seems to be the religion of choice for urban atheists." Well, I would say it's expanded a bit more than that, as we shall see. And adding to this, Luis Andres Henao, writing for the Association Press last year, said, "Adults in the United States, including a large majority of Christians and people who identify with other religions, consider the earth sacred and believe God gave humans a duty to care for it." Okay, but highly religious Americans, those who pray daily, regularly attend religious services, and considered religion crucial in their lives, are far less likely than other adults to express concern about global warming. You see, the reason for that is that the traditional religions, like I said, people pray daily. Well, those people already have their spirituality quota. But lately, the learnings of this Church of the Climate Activists has gone mainstream, more like sort of a Borgia or Medici Pope could have ever have dreamed possible. When Larry Fink, owner of BlackRock, one of the world's largest single collections of wealth, promotes ESG, my cynical side says this is less about Mother Gaia and more about putting costs onto those companies he does not invest in, making his more competitive. Yet, BlackRock recently has lost some $4 billion on these investments and has backed away from ESG, realizing it was the companies he invested in coming up short on the income statement. Fink's faith in climate change seems, well, more like those medieval monks selling access to relics than the true CCA model. But not to worry. The zealots are out there. Every week we see a new performative protest that ostensibly wakes us up. Whether it be splattering paint on priceless art, blockading a busy thoroughfare, or in one case, gluing one's feet to Arthur Ashe. I'm sorry to reread this one. Gluing one's feet to Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York during the U.S. Open tennis tournament. Those of us unconverted always find these demonstrations ranging from amusing to irritating to infuriating. In one case, they put up a barricade on a Nevada highway. Now, here you have people trying to get to work, yet their necessities, such as groceries or worse, trying to get to an urgent care clinic if they are sick. But the needs of these activists and their perceived faith that the world will end, I don't know, on solstice in 2025 must take precedence. And thus, when a Nevada sheriff plowed through the barricade and then leaped from his car to arrest, well, he's kind of a hero to me. But of course, the ubiquitous smartphones were videotaping this righteous act for future civil lawsuits that will no doubt claim he was endangering the protesters. The activists will conveniently forget they put themselves in harm's way in the first place. Note our First Amendment. For me, one of the great bulwarks of freedom in history. It, quote, provides that Congress make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting its free exercise. It protects freedom of speech, the press, assembly, and the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, it's those last two that give the CCAs the right to assemble and protest, which I would vehemently support. Not the protest in and of itself, but their right to protest. But I would also point out what is not there in that First Amendment, a place or time. Every locality in the United States provides the ability to protest, but all of them also contain forms and provisos governing the time and place of these demonstrations. You cannot take over a private building. You cannot block a major highway or demonstrate in my living room. The ACLU, a very left-wing organization and leading advocate of protest, notes, government can require a permit as a condition of protest on public property. For example, the government often can require a permit for street parades, given the impact on vehicle traffic. Likewise, the government often can require a permit for large protests in public parks and plazas to ensure fairness among the various groups seeking to use the site. And even in small groups, the ACLU adds, the First Amendment generally bars the government from requiring a permit when one person or a small group protest in a park, or when a group of any size protest on a public sidewalk in a manner that does not burden pedestrian or vehicle traffic. The Nevadan zealots were not being arrested for believing in climate change, but rather for violating a state law that even the ACLU does not protect. Albert Einstein once said, "No amount of experimentation can ever prove me right. A single experiment, though, can prove me wrong." And this gets us back to the Sagan point. When spirituality morphs into the religion of climate change, there can never be wrong, regardless of the science. And as we saw with COVID, science can quickly be warped. And I'm going to address this. I'm not too fond of the term climate change in and of itself. The accurate term is human-made climate change. Around 250 million years ago, 90% of life on this planet during the Paleozoic era was gradually wiped out. Some 40,000 years ago, my native Wisconsin lay under a massive ice sheet. In the 12th century BCE, five major civilizations were wiped out, partly due to climate change. From 800 to 1000, Scandinavians left their homelands to cause terror and disruption to the rest of Europe in what may have been partially caused by climate change. No CO2 in the air, no emissions or fossil fuels. So let us call this man-made climate change and hopefully distinguish Earth changes from one we wrought. So let's get to that part of it. I'd love to ask people on the street how much the world has warmed in the past 150 years. Well, according to worldwide temperatures, it would have been about 2 degrees Fahrenheit. Earth's temperature has risen by an average of 0.40 Fahrenheit per decade since 1880, or about 2 Fahrenheit in total. Yet, as one enterprising CCA noted, that is 14 times faster than normal. This is all about the base. During overpopulation, alarmist Thomas Malthus times in the 1700s, the Earth had a population of about 700 million. He predicted massive famines if this number hit 1 billion. Well, we are at 11 times that size today, and hunger as a percentage of the population is lower than at any time in history. If you start with a small enough base, then pretty much everything could be exponentially explained. Bjorn Lomborg keeps uncovering the disasters that CCAs perpetuate. Sri Lanka is the epitome of elite environmentalism gone wrong. Pushed to go organic by activists and the World Economic Forum, the government banned synthetic fertilizers in April 2021. Food production collapsed and the currency defaulted. Hungry and outraged citizens launched protests, overran the presidential palace, and forced the government to resign en masse and the president to flee the country. This is what can happen when this need for spirituality and the lack of true science and something that's supposed to be scientific meets public policy. Now, the question, here's a different question, whether the acts of these CCAs help their cause. Is any press good press? The fact that I'm aware of all of this madness is telling. Obviously, I know about the splatter on the precious artwork and the idiot who glued his feet to that tennis stadium a few months ago. But in a piece entitled "The Activist Dilemma, Extreme Protest Actions Reducing Popular Support for Social Movements," 3 people, Matthew Weinberg, Rob Willer, and Chloe Kovachev, set out to answer this exact question. Across 6 experiments, including 3 that were pre-registered, participants indicated less support for social movements that used more extreme protest actions. This result was obtained across a variety of movements, examples including animal rights, anti-Trump, and anti-abortion, and extreme protest actions such as blocking highways or vandalizing property. Further, in 5 of 6 studies, negative reactions to extreme protest actions also led participants to support the movement's central cause less. And these effects were largely independent of individuals' prior ideology or views on the issues. On a scientific level, the one purportedly maintained by the CCAs, their actions are a failure. But as noted, when it is about one's spirituality, their esteem, and their self-identification, science has very little to do with it. I am gratified that, for now, no CCA has become a martyr to the cause of climate change, as Edmund was, or at least claimed to be, for the religion of Christianity. We may speculate about Edmund, but for everyone from Simon Peter to Paul of Tarsus to Jesus himself, their fates and their causes of their deaths are not ambiguous. This becomes the difference between a profound belief that one would willingly sacrifice oneself and something meant to fill the empty parts of a life in a post-organized religious age.